I shot this picture on Thursday night before Oklahoma State University's annual homecoming celebration. This is actually a decoration that's being built in front of a fraternity for the walk around, which is Friday night of homecoming week. And on this Friday night, it's when the fraternities and sororities on campus, they make these massive decorations and people just sort of walk around and look at them. And there's a lot of stuff on campus. There's like face painting and photos and all the vendors selling stuff. It's almost like a little mini state fair or county fair. And there's about 40 or 50,000 people who attend this thing. It sounds kind of weird, but it's really cool. And it's billed as America's greatest homecoming celebration. I can't verify that, but it is a pretty cool time. Anyway, Thursday morning of this of homecoming week, I'm going to work, and I see a guy up on a lift, and he's welding. And it would have been such a cool photo to get him up on the lift and get all these trails, for these spark trails from the arc. And it didn't work out, though. I had to get to work, and I wasn't able to get the shot. So that evening, on Thursday night, I went back down to the University Avenue, which is what you're looking at here on the bottom of the frame, and that's where all the buildings are for the fraternities and sororities. And I just wanted to get some sort of cool photo. No one was welding anymore at that point, but I saw these guys up on a lift, and they're assembling part of their homecoming decoration. Now, the picture itself isn't that great. There's nothing really special about the picture, just some guys putting together a decoration. But I put it here on Weekly 50 because it's the kind of photo that would have been impossible for me a year or two ago. It doesn't seem like much, but there was a lot of tricks required to pull this off that I've learned over the last few years, and I just want to talk about some of those here. First of all, the star patterns from the lights. That meant I had to shoot at a small aperture, f/16 is the smallest that my 50mm lens goes, and that's just a really simple thing that it took me a while to learn. I used to see photos with these stars patterns coming off lights and wonder how people did that. Well, all you do is just shoot with a small aperture. I also shot this with my D7100, which I didn't have 2 years ago. I could have taken this with my D200, but it wouldn't have looked quite the same. The 7100 just does a better job in low light situations like this. So that's not really a trick. It's just a piece of equipment I bought, but I thought it's worth mentioning anyway. One thing I used to get this photo is a tripod with a ball head. Now, I've had tripods before, but a while ago I actually went and bought a ball head, which is it's a top that you stick in your tripod, and it allows you to once your camera is secured to it, to move it in any direction, 360 degrees, and then lock it in place. Now, without that, it's really difficult to make fine adjustments to your camera once it's on your tripod. If you have a tripod, it might have one of those handles that comes off that you kind of unscrew it to loosen it and then screw it back. And those are fine, but if you don't have a ball head and you do any sort of tripod work at all, you might be surprised at how useful this thing can be. It also made composing the shot a lot easier because of the way I had to meter and then recompose. And I'll get to that in a second. Actually, if looking at my notes, that's the next thing here. So metering the scene. Now, standard matrix metering is when your camera looks at the scene and figures out, okay, let's try and even everything out between the lights and the darks. Let's make sure the lights aren't too bright and the darks aren't too dark, and set the exposure settings like aperture and shutter and all that accordingly. Well, standard matrix metering meant that this would have been way too dark. These lights that you're looking at on the left-hand side are so bright, they overpowered everything else. And if you were to average things out, all you'd see, and I took a photo, a couple to confirm this, all you would see was just a few little points of light on the side, and the rest is totally dark. According to the sensor data on the camera, that scene would have been properly metered. But that's not what I was going for. I wanted these two guys to be properly lit, the guys up on the lift. So I put my camera in center point metering and locked the exposure on those two guys. Then, once the exposure was locked, I recomposed the shot with the ball head on my tripod, and so I had to actually loosen it, move my camera over to a different position, and screw it back in place, and then shoot the photo. I didn't know how to do this a while ago, and I didn't even know why you'd want to do it, but this kind of thing, it helps to know all those little settings and buttons on your camera that might seem too complicated for you. It helps to know what some of those are so that you can, when faced with a situation like this, get the photo that you want. I also shot this in manual to get more control over everything. Once the exposure was locked, I had to recompose the scene, which meant I had to readjust the shutter speed by looking at the light meter in the bottom of the camera. Now, your camera has this. Well, most cameras have this. A little light meter. If it's a DSLR, it's got a light meter. And if you look through the viewfinder, or some can do it on live on a live panel on the back of the camera on that LCD, you'll see a little it looks like a ruler almost, and it goes from like -3 to 0 to +3, and it's got this little moving piece that goes back and forth. Learning how to read that thing is so important to shooting in manual, but just to exposure, to photography in general, because it tells you how things are properly exposed or not, or how over or underexposed things are. And once you know how to read that thing, you can then learn to adjust your settings accordingly to get the shot you want. That's something I had no idea how to do a couple years ago, but just practicing over time gave me the confidence to be able to do that. I also wanted low ISO to get a longer shutter. So one of my key issues that I wanted was those star patterns on the lights, and I wanted a bit of a light trail from a car passing by, not too long and not too short. So I really wanted a slightly longer shutter, like I think it's just taking a third of a second. And in order to get that third of a second, I had to adjust other settings on my camera accordingly, like a lower ISO. And I kept on lowering the ISO until I could leave the shutter open for about a third of a second and get the exposure I wanted. And that's not hard. It's not there's nothing here that's especially difficult. It's just putting all these little tricks together, all these little puzzle pieces, these small, very easy to learn things into getting this particular shot. Finally, the last thing I was looking at was not just the guys on the lift and the lights, but what else did I want in the frame? Did I want any people? Did I want any cars? What could I control and what could I not control? I decided I wanted just a little bit of light from that car. Then the question was how much and where did I want it? Did I want to shoot the photo when the car was on the right-hand side or the left-hand side? And I also couldn't really control the cars because I couldn't tell them to start and stop. So just keeping that stuff in mind, and this has nothing to do with settings in your camera, but just keeping the other elements of your photograph in mind, besides your subject, in this case, the foreground, what else did I want? A year ago, I would have overdone it. I would have gone like a second long exposure and gotten light trails across the whole thing, but that would have been distracting. It would have been cool, I guess, to have big old light trails, but learning how to tone things down and dial it back a little bit to get a photo that I really like, it's something that it took me a while to learn because I used to learn a new trick and then go all out with that trick. And that's fun for trying something new, but it doesn't always get the best photograph. I'm really happy with the results of this. Even though the picture itself isn't especially noteworthy, it's a reminder to me of how much I've learned, and also it's an illustration of how much I still don't know. And it seems like everything I learn about photography and cameras, really, it just serves to show me how much I don't know and how far I have left to go. So the lesson here is never stop learning, never stop practicing. If you get to a point where you think you know everything about photography and you've learned all there is to know about taking pictures, about your camera, then it's time to learn a new hobby, because really there's always something more to learn.